Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everyone. Great to be with you. Started my day at 4:30 this morning. I was at the Penn State football workout this morning at 5:30 at Holuba. Players now getting a week off like everyone else before they come back. 2 weeks, they'll be back a week from Sunday for a team meeting. Spring practice begins 2 weeks from today, and Penn State has their football combine coming up on the 19th. For the players eligible for the NFL draft. So we're hitting that time of the year. Bucknell plays Sunday Lafayette. 2 o'clock, Eagle 107 with Doug. Where's Penn State basketball Sunday at Minnesota at 1. 12:30 will be the airtime for that. And then the Big Ten tournament next week in Chicago at the United Center. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You need to stock up for the weekend. Just go out, stock up, enjoy. Imports, domestics, microbrews, they have the best selection of beer anywhere. On top of that, you also have soft drink snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, second to none. You're looking at a barrel pickle guy right here. They're the best. Brewers Outlet is the best barrel pickles I've ever had. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Herr, my sidekick, good friend alongside, and Steve Williams joining us from the Giant Center in Hershey. Hi, Steve. How are you today?
Hey, good. You caught me down right on the floor of the Giant Center in Hershey. Film shows Nate Thingeman right now wrestling John Jacobson of Stroudsburg. As they head into the second period, the score 5-0 in favor of Jacobson. Jacobson got a outside sweep leg and then cradled Thingeman. So Thingeman trailing 5-0 going into the second. But he's the first of two AAA wrestlers from our area wrestling. Drew Boop will be wrestling a little bit later at 220 pounds. So lots of action already here on the floor of the Giant Center. Double A wrestling action really kind of running over. They didn't get the second round of consolation started except for about 50 minutes late. They started this round about 40 minutes late. So they're finding that those extra four wrestlers per weight are adding a lot more time to this than they really thought. So they're trying to keep things hustling as well as they can, but running way behind.
You know, it's funny, Steve, when you look at the brackets for AA, even with the extra wrestlers, there's still a lot of preliminary matches that are getting buys. Is that the way they're just seeding them now instead of just going right out of a first round?
Well, now with the preliminaries, they're only adding an extra four, so that leaves another another six brackets or whatever empty. And they do that so they don't have as many consolations. They only have four consolations in that first round, so it's just by the number. You know, you've got to go with 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, or whatever. This happens to be a 20-man bracket, so it's just the way the bracket works.
I know the AA has wrapped up now into the semifinals and getting ready for fourth-round consolations here later tonight, which may go way into the night the way yeah. You're talking. But Line Mountain represented at 113 with Cameron Newman. He could actually end up, if things go well, wrestling Upper Dauphin's Coy Campbell. I believe, wrestled in the regular season a couple of times, didn't they?
Well, you know, you caught me down here without all my notes, and I'm not really sure. I'll have to go back and look at that. But it looks the way Cameron's been wrestling, he's going to have a pass into the finals here this evening. I expect to see him do that, as well as possibly Kent Lane or Southern Columbia. Of course, Billy Barnes, everybody expected him to win this thing. He got beat in the quarterfinals this morning, came back and lost in the consolation round, and he's done. So, you know, he's a multiple-time runner-up, transferred from Williamson to Southern Columbia, and you know, he's out of the tournament, heading home. So you never know what's going to happen. The quarterfinals are where the upsets start to happen.
You mentioned Kent Lane at 145 for Southern. He's in the semifinals. Jarrett Lane from Southern at 106, wrestling his way back into the fourth round of consolations. But Benton has really been well represented here. Two wrestlers in the semifinals, two wrestlers right now in the fourth round consolations. How do you see things in the lightweight division at 106 for Alan Diltz right now?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. He's going to end up wrestling the kid that beat Lane this morning. But, you know, Lane took him into overtime. And I saw Diltz wrestle early in the season when, you know, he was still trying to get his legs underneath him. I haven't really gotten a chance to watch him here. He certainly has a shot. You know, a freshman in the first two weights certainly have a shot to win it. So, you know, he's in the mix with him. There's no doubt about it.
And the other Benton wrestler at that I was referring to at 195 is Logan Wommelsdorf. I mean, he's had a really easy round of it. He had a fall in the quarterfinals at 228. He had another fall in the semi to get into the semifinals at 311.
Well, you know, I can't say enough for the way the Hughes method of wrestling over there. I mean, it's just a hard-nosed style of wrestling. I really like it.
Yeah, the Hughes brothers don't know anything about wrestling, do they?
No, absolutely not. And you know what? Wommelsdorf looks... Well, I think somebody told me he was a nephew or something to the Hughes brothers, and, you know, he wrestles just like it. He's a real hard hit out there on the mat.
Another area wrestler in the AA semifinals at 160 is Cole Walter. What have you seen from him the last couple of days?
Well, you know, surprised me. He only won 1-0. That's as close a match as he's had all season long. Nobody's really gotten close to him. You know, he's ranked, I think, fifth nationally, so you would expect a guy like that to pretty much take everybody apart. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him this morning. Kid wrestled him well, but, you know, you just expect so much out of Cole. You know, you expect the tech falls or the falls from him. And we'll have to wait and see. I don't know what to say. I mean, I think, you know, he's going to win tonight. He's going to end up making it into the finals, but he's got to get over that 1-0 win, which, you know, you say, yeah, a win is a win is a win, but, you know, with a guy like him, you expect he's going to score you a lot of points.
Double A, I think, Steve, is probably stacked for District 4 anyway and in the region at 138 and 145. You know, we mentioned Kent Lane from Southern Columbia, but then at 138 you have Keith Butkowski from Montoursville, who's had a really good year. He's in the consolations in the fourth round. Nate Jones from South Williamsport's wrestled really well this year. I saw him a couple of times. Sam Miller of Bloomsburg, he's still in the fourth round consolations. Is 138, 145, and even 152, is that where District 4 is strongest, or are they stronger somewhere else?
Now, that's about it. You called it right there through that middle part. You know, we talked about that yesterday at 145. There's a lot of really good kids at that weight. And, you know, when you talk about Bukowski, he's just a junior. He was a heck of a football player, too. You know, Montoursville got him for another year for a lot of different sports. And that Montoursville team is really loaded with a lot of talent and a lot of talented underclassmen. So, you know, they're going to be the team to beat. And, you know, they've got some other kids there in those middle weights that, you know, didn't make the trip down there that are going to fill it in. So it's going to continue to be very tough in those middle weights in our area, no doubt about that.
Yeah, Butkowski was an okay running back. He got the job done. He got the job done for the Warriors. Hey, real quick, Montoursville with two other wrestlers in the fourth round consolations, Gavin Hoffman at 170 and Garrett Hoffman at 182. Have you had a chance to see them this week?
Yeah, you know, the older Hoffman, it surprised me that he lost. I expected him to go a little bit farther than what he did. The lighter weight Hoffman, and he's just a freshman. You know, a great experience for him at that tough weight, you know, down here just as a freshman. Of course, then they also had Ben Cerny in, I think he was at, what, 220. Last night he actually got pinned, and the assistant referee called it off and said it was an illegal hold. They called the pin off, but he did end up losing anyway. But, you know, quite a surprise, you know, when he heard that mat slap and, you know, thought he was done, had to be back and wrestle some more. But, you know, Montours will send a good contingent of kids down here, and like I said, they're all underclassmen, so they're going to be the team in our area.
Steve, you mentioned that you just touched on it a little bit with the dual referee situation in states. Where do they actually start that? Do they start that at the regional round, or is it just at states?
No, they did it at district, and I'm sure in the double A's, they probably did it as sectionals. And you'll see it at other tournaments. They don't do it in the dual meets. You know, when they get into the postseason, they'll go with a two-referee system, the referee and the assistant referee. Very rarely do you see the assistant referee overturn the referee. The referee may console with them a little bit, but, you know, that was unusual. The assistant referee, I saw him call the illegal hold before the referee called the fall. He didn't say it, and that's when they waved it off. But that's unusual. They usually go with what the referee calls.
Well, my first year of doing Penn State basketball, Dick Carter was the head coach, and that was the year they expanded to three referees on the floor from two. And I said, Dick, what do you think of that? He says, Steve, that's one more guy that can mess up. All right, yeah. So thanks so much, Steve. Appreciate it very much and the great updates, and we're looking forward to the coverage coming up this weekend from the Giant Center.
All righty, thank you.
All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Forget March Madness! At Sunbury Motors Kia, there's nothing to be mad about. Because in the month of March, every pre-owned vehicle we have is on sale. It's March Happiness Month.
I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
With hundreds of vehicles to choose from, starting at just $39.88, Sunbury Motors Kia has what you want. And if not, we'll get it for you. Package that with the best interest rates available, and you'll be happy. So whether it's a car, truck, van, or SUV you're looking for, Sunbury Motors Kia is your one-stop shop. And you get the advantage of SMC's lowest price promise and Auto Club, where we pay you for the miles you drive. It's better than free. We pay you. So check us out at sunburymotors.com 24/7 or stop in for the March Happiness Sale at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf, where we've been selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Steve Williams will be there at the Giant Center in the broadcast location upstairs, and Kevin will be on the mat tomorrow for the PIAAs. What time's our coverage get going tomorrow, too? Does that sound right?
1:45 with the pre-match, and then matches start getting underway about 2 o'clock. we're hoping there's no delays compared to what we're looking at here today. I wouldn't imagine so.
Right. Okay, and we'll have complete coverage of that. We thank Steve Williams for the great job he's been doing down there and for the updates he's been giving us on our show the last 2 days from the PIAAs in Hershey at the Giant Center. And then Steve and Kevin tomorrow on hand on WKOK beginning at 1:45. So lock in. We'll have complete coverage for you. And that includes the battles for 7th, 5th, 3rd, and 1st in the weight classes tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll have four mats out for tomorrow in both the AA and AAA, and the AA at 2 o'clock, the AAA getting underway at 7.
All right.
So and as soon as we get that, I'm sorry, Steve, I was just going to say, as soon as we get that update at 182 there for Sealands Grove, we'll pass it along to you.
That sounds good. Look forward to that. And we're going to have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, in the final half hour today. Talk a lot about the Steelers and what they're doing. Really, essentially, I'm going to talk to Tony a lot about the cap. And that does deal with the Troy Polamalu situation because of the cap. They don't bring him back. It saves them some of the cap. Restructuring Roethlisberger's contract. Well, not restructuring, but a contract extension with Roethlisberger actually would also be of cap benefit to the Steelers. And, of course, they're already not going to bring Jason Worlds back. So, obviously, that has an effect on the cap, too. So we'll talk about that with Tony coming up from Pittsburgh in the final half hour of the show.
Steve, I just got the 182 final there. Is John Jacobson of Stroudsburg winning by Tech Fall in 4:23.
Wow, so, impressive.
Bingaman will drop now to the third round of consolations.
Tech Fall's impressive. You got to admit that.
When you're wrestling in the quarterfinals of the state championships, a 16-1 Tech Fall is very impressive, and Nate Bingaman is not a fish, as it were. There's a wrestling term for you. When you get an easy match, it's called a fish.
Well, okay then. More jargon coming up. Brandon Marshall dealt by the Bears today to the New York Jets. And it's just another move by the Jets that makes no sense. It makes no sense. Look, Marshall is an excellent receiver. I think Marshall matured down in Miami, matured a lot with the Bears. He's a great talent, there's no doubt. But you have to have somebody to throw the ball. You can have eight Brandon Marshalls. If you got one Geno Smith, you have nothing. I mean, that's the problem the Jets have. It's not who's catching it. It's who's throwing it. I mean, Eric Decker didn't go from really serviceable wide receiver in Denver to witness protection program at the Meadowlands. You have to have somebody throw the football. I mean, they make this trade. Okay, fine. They make the trade. And, you know, is he a good wideout? Yeah, he's a good wideout. But, wow. Speaking of wideouts, I'll tell you the group. I was really impressed with the Penn State wide receiver group watching them this morning work out. That was impressive. Chris Godwin, Geno Lewis looked really good. Godwin looked good. Saeed Blacknall looked really good. Wow. And the important part for me, I was looking at a couple of guys bouncing back from injuries, for example. Ben Klein, I thought, looked really good this morning. And Adam Brenneman looked really good this morning. I was really impressed by both of them. Interesting to see who takes leadership spots. Who wants to be the first up? I look at little things like that, because that's not a little thing, it's a big thing. Who's always the first guy up in the group? Christian Hackenberg was always the first guy up in the group. Akeel Lynch was the first guy up in his group. And so I look for things like that. Who wants to be first up? Ange Mangiero. Andrew Nelson. Nelson look good. It's the first winter program, you know, Nelson's ever been through, you know that? It's his third year in the program. He's never had a winter program. And hurt each of the other times. And this is a lean football team. I think Sterling Jenkins looks stronger. He's put on the right kind of weight. A little more definition in the muscle for him. Same thing. Paris Palmer thought the same thing. Grant Haley looks quick. I thought Kyle Carter looked good. Gesicki looks really good. Wortman. Brandon Bell. Thought Troy Reeder. Thought Kabinda looked really good today, too. This is a long list of guys. Yeah. I was impressed by watching the workout this morning. They'll be in spring practice 2 weeks from today to get rolling. The combine for the NFL-bound players that want to be in the NFL will be in 13 days. It's the 19th. We mentioned about Brandon Marshall. The big story of the day, though, of course, is Syracuse basketball. And again, it's going to be a 9-game suspension for Jim Boeheim. It is going to be, they lose wins, like nobody realized who won the games. And they'll be able to go to the NCAA tournament, well, or postseason of whatever next year. They'll be allowed to play in the ACC tournament next year, and they'll be allowed to compete in whatever postseason tournament they get to next year, if they get there. And but the nine-game ACC suspension is not just a nine-game suspension. I mean, Syracuse usually plays a rather mediocre non-conference schedule. And so, you know, oh, yeah, nine games. Well, I'm going to miss that Colgate-Cortland State deal. Okay, yeah, okay, fine. Okay. No, they're nine ACC games. And that's been the recent pattern by the NCAA. They've really dovetailed that from what the SEC did with Bruce Pearl. With Bruce Pearl, they suspended him for eight games in the Aaron Kraft situation. And then what subsequently what he said or didn't say to NCAA investigators. Well, the SEC suspended him for eight games. When UConn got in trouble, Jim Calhoun got suspended for three Big East games. And now it's nine ACC games for Jim Boeheim. The problem I have with this is that I know Boeheim has been there, obviously, for a long, long time. Long time, with 38, 39 seasons. But he's now a two-time offender in all this. In fact, the first school to ever go on probation in the Big East was Syracuse in 1992. That conference was formed in 79. They went 13 years, nobody on probation until Syracuse. Well, this is the second time now they've been hit with an extensive probation. And I really believe the NCAA needs to put a three strikes and out deal in for coaches. Now, this wouldn't affect him. I mean, say something came up 4 or 5 years from now, whatever, and it's a third. So he'd be 75 years old. He's like, the heck with this. I'm getting out anyway. Right, so it wouldn't affect him. But I think they need to put a three strikes and you're out. And I'm talking about major stuff. I'm not talking about, oh, by the way, you know, we gave too much we gave too much of a stipend to somebody by accident by about $3. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about legitimate stuff like Syracuse was hit with today. It's the second time they've been hit with a major probation with him as the head coach. And you may love Syracuse basketball and so forth, but you can't deny that's twice now they've been hit. He's a two-time offender. And I'm not talking about other stuff that's happened off the court with Syracuse. Just, you know, a coach can't control their players 24/7. I got that. But these are program things that he can control and should have oversight on. And that's why 92 and now. By the way, they get to keep their 2003 national championship. I know Kevin was worried.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. And they also have soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bars second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Kevin has some updates from Hershey on the PIAA Wrestling Championships.
Yeah, AAA of area wrestlers Nate Bingaman of Sealands Grove loses by tech fall. He will move on to the third round of the consolations. Andrew Boob of Sealands Grove loses his semifinal match 8-0 to Seth Janney of Southwestern. He'll move to the Wrestlebacks in the third round. Gavin Caprio of Central Mountain, a winner in the third round of consolations, 8-2. He advances to the fourth round. And Jake Ewling of Jersey Shore at 220 loses 7-3. He's been eliminated. So it appears as though there are three area wrestlers in AAA that are still going on. We'll continue to update those on Facebook as well as on WKOK's Twitter feed.
Time now to bring in Tony DeFazio of the Pittsburgh Sports Report on our hotline. Tony, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. It's great to hear from you, first of all. Let's get to Troy Polamalu. Is it really messy if they have to cut him? I mean, I don't quite get this. Gee, we hope he retires. What, because they don't want to go through the exercise of cutting him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that is the feeling. We would rather him retire than have to cut him. Why that had to be leaked, I have absolutely no idea. That's the NFL. Troy Polamalu is a big boy. He certainly gets that at this point. And no doubt that these guys, especially when you play at that kind of a level, their egos are very, very big. And it can be tough for those guys to swallow the fact that they can't play at that same level. But deep inside, they know it as well. So, would they rather him retire? Of course.
Is it a big deal,
like you're saying, Steve? Of course not. It certainly shouldn't be. And I think that this is a... whoever leaked this and whoever did it on whoever's orders, I think that's a mistake, because I agree with you. I don't think it should be a big deal other than that, 5 seconds where you say, that's a shame, we have to release him.
Yeah, I mean, I was in Indianapolis for the Big Ten tournament the day that Peyton Manning got cut. It happened across the street from the hotel.
Yeah.
All right. That's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Absolutely. And it's few and far between the guys whose career, not everyone can beat Jerome Bettis and go out holding the Super Bowl trophy in your hometown. That's a Hollywood ending. Most of them end the way, heck, there's no shortage of guys. I mean, Joe Montana's career did not end. The Dolphins did not renew Dan Marino's contract. I mean, you can go on and on and on. That's a list that, is full of Hall of Famers. I agree with you. And, I think it's a mistake. I don't know where the order came from or how high up it came from or where the leak came from, but it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and Jerome Bettis, by the way, started his career in St. Louis as a Ram. He didn't spend his whole career with the Steelers.
Yeah, exactly.
He spent 3 years with St. Louis and then was dealt. Now, let's get to the Polamalu situation. Do you expect that he will be cut?
I do. I do. And I also expect that he will probably, at the end of the day, and this is just speculation by me, but I suspect that this is how it'll end. I don't think he'll be in another uniform. And quite frankly, I don't know why necessarily you want to bring Troy Polamalu in, It isn't like a quarterback at the end of his career who still has that arm, and if you build a great line around him, he can still uncork the ball. This is a guy who's, for him to be worth his money, he needs to play the way he played 5 years ago.
Right.
And I just don't know that he's a fit, really, for anybody at this point. Well, can he have a couple of games? Sure, he can have a couple of games. Can he have a month? Maybe. A season, he hasn't done it in five years.
I mean, he reminds me a lot at this stage. I mean, I think a lot of people forget Ed Reed was a Houston Texan.
Another great example. And a perfect one, because those guys are probably the two best at their position in their generation.
And they're contemporaries. It's just not going to work. Because Polamalu is not... You would think about bringing in a guy as a free agent that would be a nickel guy for you. That would not be his position.
Right.
That's not a position he can play.
Right. And I agree. And again, back to Ed Reed and back to those other guys that we mentioned, after the scars heal, and they heal pretty quick, there's no love, there's no shortage of love between the city and the player. And we see that kind of stuff all the time. A couple of years down the road, the city loves them. They love the city. They love the fans. Yeah. Everything's happy again. You just got to get past that ugly end of the career. And you're right. Not that big a deal happens to people in other walks of life every single day. Right. It can happen to Troy Polamalu.
Right, exactly. Now, Worlds is definitely, he's gone. A lot of people think he might end up in Philadelphia. So what are the Steelers' options right now as they try to fill gaps? You don't swing the division your way in free agency. You fill gaps to make your team a little bit better. So where are the potential gap fillers for this team? Certainly not Taj Boyd.
Right. No, I mean, I think this is a situation where they might make a free agency move similar to the kinds of moves that they made last year with a guy like Arthur Motes, who's able to, he's not going to change, you're right, he's not going to change the dynamic of your defense, but can he fill in for a month? Can he give you, you know, maybe half of a season while a rookie gets ready or while somebody recovers from injury? Somebody versatile like that. And heck, it may be that they re-sign Arthur Motes, who can play inside and outside linebacker. And quite frankly, again, it would not surprise me to see James Harrison suited up in a Steelers uniform again next year. He played well last year, Steve. He's not a difference maker, obviously. And if they have their sights set on bringing in James Harrison as a complement, a piece that can come in and do what I just said, maybe fill a role for a couple of months, fill a role for a couple of weeks, or even for a handful of snaps on any given Sunday, then I think that's a guy that can possibly help them do that. If they look to him for anything more, well, then we're talking about a defense like we saw last year.
Is Mel Blunt available? All right.
Talk about giving us a couple of snaps. I'll take Mel Blunt for a series right now. I'll take him for a series.
I did mention Taj Boyd going into that. That's the big signing today. Really? I mean, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, that does it on that.
I think it's a nice experiment. I think it's a, you know, I think it's can't, you know, let's see what we can get out of it. And if we can strike gold, great. You know, I kind of think of it as a kind of a high reward. I don't even know how high the reward is. Maybe it can help you a little bit here or there. But again, I don't think that's a difference-making type of a move.
No. Where are the Steelers with Roethlisberger? Because there's Roethlisberger, and then there's the rest of the roster. You don't get anywhere unless he is your quarterback. He's one of the six elite ones out there. Where are they with the negotiations?
Strangely silent at this point. I shouldn't say strangely.
Maybe
but,
that's good.
But certainly, you know, conspicuously silent at this point. Now, Kevin Colbert said that they were in no rush to get it done by the beginning of free agency, which is just a couple of days away, I think, March 10th, I want to say. But I think that was just a statement. I think they would very much like to have that done by March the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or at the very least have a framework in place by March the 10th. So I even though they're not circling that date publicly, that date's got to be circled because they need to know what they can do with other people at that point. So they've got to have the framework or something in place within the next, you know, week probably in order for them to do what they need to do in free agency. I don't suspect this will linger too long. I think that they will have some type of framework in place by that point because both sides know what's realistic and what they and the Steelers know where they have to go to get him inked up again for another couple of years.
Right. Now, this will be a multifaceted question that actually leads to one question, and that is, okay, Roethlisberger, I'll get to him last. Cutting Polamalu, not re-signing Worlds, and a new contract for Roethlisberger. Where would that put the Steelers cap-wise with that combination of three? Because I would assume a new Roethlisberger contract actually would reduce his cap number.
Yeah, I would think that would be the main goal with a, you know, well, not the main goal, but certainly, you know, 1B, I would imagine, with a Roethlisberger contract. So, yeah, you know, I agree. And they're actually in pretty decent shape. They're not going to be able to spend extravagantly, but they should be in decent enough shape. You know, they're probably regretting a couple of moves that they made last year with a couple of defensive backs, Cortez Allen and Mike Mitchell, that cost them, you know, I think all told those contracts were over $50 million combined, but guaranteed they weren't anywhere near that. Still, those are hits that they're having to deal with this year that didn't help the team whatsoever. So that hurts them a little bit, but you know, I think they're probably in a position, even after they get Roethlisberger done and after they, you know, clear the decks with Polamalu and Jason Worlds. They did restructure Marcus Gilbert's contract, so that's going to help them a little bit as well. And, you know, they're in a position where they're going to be able to, I think, perhaps extend some guys, maybe a Cameron Hayward gets a contract extension, guys like that, rather than, you know, dip into the big-time free agent pool. They're in much better shape now than they were 2 years ago, and that was all part of the deal. They had so many veterans that they extended a couple of years ago when they were trying to make that one last run. And all of those guys, for the most part, came off the books last offseason. So they're in much better shape. They're able to extend some guys that are on the team now. And, you know, they're not, at the very least, they're not handcuffed in free agency.
Tony, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate the time.
Always enjoy. Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
All right. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Could Troy Polamalu end up being a Tennessee Titan?
Just stop.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who's the defensive coordinator with the Tennessee Titans?
I understand. If he goes to the Titans, that's okay. I don't mind that.
Well, I'm glad you approve.
I do.
We'll come back with the...
I do. I give it my stamp of approval. Two thumbs up.
All right, I'll be back with Captain Man Crush in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steelers, of course, had to release Hines Ward. So I'm just asking you, is just out of curiosity, what was your reaction the day they cut Hines Ward?
What? That was my reaction.
Really? Because they say that's a factor as to why they're publicly saying they hope he retires.
It caught me off guard.
This is not a veteran friendly league, and I think part of it's a collective bargaining agreement. That's why you don't, you know, you talk about, for example, Kevin getting attached to a player. Well, he's been with the Steelers 12 seasons now, and he's given them great, great years. Yeah, we can talk about the ending. You know, going from looking like an Indy race car to being Chariots of Fire, and as to how he's played, but his great years were unbelievable, off the chart, first ballot Hall of Fame performances over and over and over again. I thought he was one of the top five players in the entire league in the decade of the 2000s. This league, though, is a very cold, harsh league. This is not a league that is a warm and fuzzy, you know, hey, thanks, you've been great, you know, here's some money. This is all business. You know, for better or worse. I mean, for better or worse. I mean, that's the way it is. But great players across the board have ended in spots in their career, have ended their careers in other places. Oh, yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar ended a Laker, started with Milwaukee. Will Chamberlain ended with the Lakers as well. You know, then he went and coached in the ABA, for goodness sakes. I mean, you're two of the greatest players of all time. Karl Malone finished with the Lakers, not with the Utah Jazz. You know, LeBron James, Michael Jordan finished with the Washington Wizards. Tell him I said hi. And, you know, I mean, the NHL, Bobby Hull, you know, ended up with, I think the Whalers were his last team. Gordie Howe, the Whalers were his last team. Bobby Orr ended up with the Chicago Blackhawks. Wayne Gretzky with the St. Louis Blues. Baseball, Eddie Murray with the Indians. Willie Mays with the Mets. Babe Ruth with the Braves. Ty Cobb with the A's. You know, the list goes on. And then, of course, in football, left and right, right? Brian Dawkins with the Broncos, for goodness sakes. Joe Montana with the Chiefs. The list goes on of guys that ended their career someplace else. And in the end, I think Tony made a great point. In the end, when they finally do decide to retire, the city loves them. They're like, great. Incredible. Come on back. You know, you elect them to the team's version of the Hall of Fame, and they're back and they're loving you. The fans are loving them right back. You know, bygones are bygones after the initial shock. But this is not a veteran-friendly league. I think I talked earlier in the week about the NBA, for example, and one of the issues with the NBA is a lack of maturity at times in that league because of so many young players being in it. And that's what the NFL runs the risk of, because this is not a veteran-friendly league. A lot of guys in their mid-30s are in this position, like, okay, cut, move on, cap space, move on. And there aren't as many, quote, deep-seated veterans in locker rooms. They, in the end, they're all independent contractors. It's the way it is. Syracuse probation, a huge second time through for Jim Boeheim now, a two-time offender with the NCAA. Two major probations now in his career. Gets a 9-game suspension in the ACC next year. They will get to go to postseason play if they qualify for it next year. So that's good. Again, I don't think current players should be penalized. He was the leader of the program through the entire time, so thus a penalty on him is warranted. Supposedly he may appeal it. Syracuse might appeal it. The overall, they're also going to get knocked down in recruiting. And they'll have 10 scholarships in each of the next 4 years instead of 13. All right. Syracuse has a depth of talent to begin with, and they have a really good recruiting class coming in. How much will having fewer scholarships affect them? I think where it will affect them is in depth. You know, do they get a guy in academic trouble? Do they get a guy hurt? Do we get a couple guys that get hurt along the way? And then suddenly you're scrambling a little bit, or do you get a guy suspended? Let's take Duke, for example, with the depth of talent that Duke has. You know, Mike Krzyzewski's playing with 8 scholarship guys right now. I mean, they had to suspend Suleiman, which has had a little swirl around it as well. But Duke's handled that right, basically told everybody to get lost, they're handling it, and everybody did get lost. But he's at 8 scholarship guys right now. That's the one area where, for Syracuse, yeah, they're going to have talent, there's no question. He has a really good recruiting class coming in, yes. That's all good. And can you win with 10 scholarship players? Yes, you can in basketball, as opposed to dramatic reductions that can happen in football, like at Penn State and USC, where you've hung in there and done the best you can with it. Basketball with 10 scholarships, you can. But if you get a suspension, if you get an injury, or some of those freshmen on February 1st because of extended minutes hit a wall, well, now you do have an issue. So that's where it could have an effect, and it's going to be at 10 scholarships for each of the next 4 years. So they'll lose a dozen scholarships out of this. And he gets the 9-game suspension in the ACC, so it's not 9 games to start next year where suddenly, hey, great, you know, Jim can't coach the Cortland State game. Ooh, okay. How will we ever survive? Now it's going to be 9 ACC games, a little greater impact. I don't know if he's allowed to practice the team. I'd have to look into this more. I would assume he'd be allowed to practice the team, but he can't coach the games. Kevin, any updates from Hershey we should know about?
No, not at the moment. We're caught up on everything. And if you missed any of the information, follow us on Twitter, and also go to the WKOK Facebook page. We have the AA and AAA results from the throughout the day online.
Kevin will be on hand Matt's side. Steve Williams high atop the Giant Center to call the action tomorrow, beginning at 1:45 on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And action should get rolling about 2 o'clock tomorrow at the Giant Center. Bucknell Sunday, 2 o'clock. We'll take on Lafayette at Soika in the Patriots semifinals. Doug Birdsong will have the call on Eagle 107. And, of course, Penn State basketball Sunday at Williams Arena in Minneapolis at 1. On the air beginning at 12:30, Dick Girardi will join me for that broadcast from Minneapolis. Don't forget, tomorrow, take your clocks, kick them forward ahead an hour. Kevin loves daylight savings time.
Huge fan. It's daylight when I leave the building now.
Why, were you starting to feel like the Prince of Darkness?
It was a little gloomy the last several months.
We need to pick up your spirits, sport.
Yay! How was that?
Oh, that just didn't work.
Sorry.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, I'm Steve Jones for Kevin Herr on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Have a great, great weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you Monday.